This morning's Bible reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, and reading verses 1 to 13. My Bible, it's page 1042. It's in your Bible as well. They all differ. Some of the different editions of the Bible differ, but anyway, page 1042, Luke chapter 11. We're going to be considering today, we'll read this section, but it's the parable of the friend in need that we're focusing on this morning. And it's headed Jesus' teaching and prayer. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John the Baptist taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and he goes to him at midnight and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' Then the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and as we come to consider the message of the parable of the friend in need. Parables, as has often been said, are everyday stories carrying a spiritual meaning. And this morning we're going to consider this short parable, this story that Jesus told that we've just read, about a friend in need. I'm sure we can all think of times in our lives when during the night we've been woken suddenly out of our sleep by the phone ringing or the sound of a doorbell. It's not a pleasant experience, is it? For as we're struggling to awaken ourselves, the tendency for us is to feel a surge of panic, thinking there must be something wrong for someone to be calling at this time of night. And it tests one's patience incredibly when you pick up the phone in the middle of the night, say, only to hear someone say, "Is Francis there?" And half-consciously you reply, "There's no one called Francis living in this house," in response to which the caller hangs up, sometimes without even an apology. Similarly, it's a real tester of patience when someone phones up at 1:30 in the morning and says, as someone said to me many, 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 many years ago, "Ronnie, what do you think about starting a drama group in the church?" I was so startled and surprised, my response must have seemed quite incoherent. I remember the phone caller saying, "I didn't disturb you, did I? My wife and I were just discussing the matter, and we thought, I wonder what Ronnie thinks. Let's give him a ring and ask him." Well, at first sight, we might be tempted to think that the man who went to his friend's house at midnight to ask for 3 loaves of bread in the story that Jesus told was making a trivial request. But we would be wrong if we thought that, because offering hospitality to travelers was regarded as a very important thing, indeed almost as a a sacred duty in Jesus' time. And it wasn't simply enough to provide the bare minimum of food and drink for a traveller who called at your house. There was this automatic assumption that you would provide the best food and drink that you could. And of course, travellers in Jesus' day often journeyed late in the evening to avoid the heat of the midday sun. So it wasn't totally unheard of for someone to arrive at your door late at night. And so here in the story that Jesus told, the traveller arrives at a man's house at midnight unexpectedly. And what's more, this man who's arrived is a friend, and he's suddenly dropped in, and there's nothing in the house to give him. What an embarrassment. I remember way, way back in student days, and well before I got married, I lived in a flat with four other students, all Christians, and we all had enormous appetites, and there was never any food in the house after the evening meal, typical students. And it had all been eaten up, and if anyone happened to call unexpectedly, say, at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the evening, it was so embarrassing, because apart from a cup of tea or coffee, there was only maybe some porridge to give them or flakes from breakfast time. It was very embarrassing. Well, in the story Jesus told, late at night as it was, the embarrassed host went round to the house of another friend to borrow three loaves of bread, only to find that the friend's door was shut, was indeed locked. Now, in those days, people would have been very reluctant to knock on a door that was locked, was shut, indeed, unless the need was very great. In those days, doors were opened in the morning, remained open all day. You can maybe think of times long ago when there was such trust that maybe people didn't lock their doors. But however, in the Middle East, that was a natural thing. Doors were opened, left open all day, very little privacy then. And if the door was shut, that was a definite sign that the householder didn't wish to be disturbed. Added to that, at night, many families, especially poorer families, all slept in one room. And maybe some here can remember days when that happened as well. They all slept in one room, and if one of the family got up, all the rest were disturbed. So it's not surprising that the man who was in bed didn't want to get up when he heard a knock at the door. But his friend knocked and knocked and kept on knocking until the man inside got up, answered the door, no doubt all the family awake at this time, and he gave his friend all that he needed. It's a great and it's a heart-searching story, isn't it? Like all the stories that Jesus told, and which might make you think, well, what would I have done if I'd been the one asleep in bed? But of course, that isn't the main purpose of the parable, to get you and me to think about what we would have done had we been in such a situation. That's not first and foremost what the parable is about. What is the parable about then? Well, it's a parable about praying. It's a parable about praying. The context in which Jesus told this parable was one in which one of his disciples had said to Jesus, having seen Jesus praying, said to Jesus, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus, of course, as we read, had gone on to teach them the Lord's Prayer, giving them a pattern prayer for all their prayers. And then after giving them that, the Lord's Prayer, the pattern prayer, continuing in the whole matter of praying, Jesus told this parable of the friend in need. So what we have here in this story is a kind of picture of what prayer is like. It's like a person in great need going to a special friend to ask if that friend can help them in their need. Isn't that a lovely picture of prayer? It's going to a friend with our need. And what a friend. For Jesus is saying in this parable that God is a real and very great friend to all who truly trust him, who come to him with faith in Jesus Christ. I wonder if that's always how we see God, as someone who delights in loving us and delights in hearing our prayers. In life, we're confronted with all kinds of needs, aren't we? Many of them very, very great needs. And those needs aren't just the material needs. that we have for food and clothing and a home and possessions, the kind of things covered in the Lord's Prayer by the request, give us each day our daily bread, the material needs. But our needs also include, don't the daily needs, forgiveness, as Jesus showed in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins, our debts, our sins. But our needs also include, don't they, our need of God's protection, our need of God's guidance, our need of His strength, our need of His comfort, our need of a sense of His presence with us in our lives, our need to find meaning to our lives, our need of His peace, our great need of His love. And all these many needs which we become aware of in our lives, and as we realize of ourselves, we cannot meet these needs. We're empty. We're empty, aren't we? The cupboard is bare. We've nothing with which to feed our own souls, let alone the souls of others who come looking to us for help. Prayer is all about seeking God in faith and bringing our needs to God in Jesus' name. The needs of our families, the needs of our loved ones, the needs of our neighbors, the needs of our work colleagues, the needs of our nation, the needs of the world around us. And seeing coming to a friend, the greatest friend that we have, and saying, Lord, I need your help. I'm empty by myself. I'm nothing. I can do nothing. Have mercy. Help me in all the needs I have that I'm bringing to you. And how wonderful to realize that true prayer results in coming to see God as a friend. I hope all of us feel that way about God. I hope we see God in that light. That God is a welcoming friend, the greatest friend anyone could ever have, to whom we can come with our every need. So this parable then is a parable about praying, and it's also a parable that teaches about persevering in prayer. The man who knocked at the door of his friend's house at midnight to ask for 3 loaves, he kept on knocking. And even when his friend shouted out to him from inside the house, don't bother me, the door's locked, my children are with me in bed, I can't give up and give you anything, the man just kept on knocking. No doubt he thought, I'm not giving up here. He'll soon give way because he's my friend and I know I can count on him. It's great to have friends that you can count on, isn't it? Greater friends that you can count on, not fair weather friends that you know who are only there for you in the good times, but nowhere to be seen when you're really in trouble and needing their support. Fair weather friends aren't true friends, but oh, what a blessing true, dependable, trustworthy friends are, whom you can turn to at any time, in every circumstance, knowing they will always do what they can to help and support you, as hopefully you would do for them. The man knocking at his friend's door knew it was late. He knew the door was locked. That meant the family was in bed. And yet in his need, he boldly kept on asking until the door was answered and he got what he needed. He persevered. And you know, friends, it greatly pleases God when we persevere in our prayers, when we're earnest in our prayers, not apathetic, not mechanically going through the motions of repeating the same old requests without any real thought or seriousness. You know, sometimes I believe God withholds immediate answers to our prayers, not because he's in any way perverse or mean-minded, but rather he wants to bring an earnestness, a seriousness to our prayers. And sometimes that's best achieved as a parent might do with a child or a grandparent, not just immediately giving them what they ask for, but letting them really think of what they're asking and asking the right way. And sometimes that's the way I believe God sometimes withholds for a while the thing requested so that our focus is sharpened and we begin to realize our utter dependence upon God, so that our praying becomes more earnest, more focused on God himself. Persevering in prayer is a great means of testing our faith and of stimulating our faith. Do you remember another of the parables that Jesus taught It's recorded in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 6, about a widow who had been wronged by someone. And she kept on and on going to the local judge. And in this case, the local judge wasn't a good man. He wasn't a man who feared God, didn't care about other people. But she kept on pestering him until she got the justice that she sought. And we're told that Jesus told his disciples that story about the widow and the unjust judge to show his disciples, Luke 18:1, that they should always pray and not give up. That they should always pray and not give up. Sometimes we can be tempted to give up, can't we? All of us in our prayer lives. Sometimes you may be tempted to think, does it make any difference? But it does. And God wants us to persevere. It's a lesson. Perseverance in prayer is a lesson God wants us all to learn. And it's one of the great lessons of the parable that we're thinking about this morning of the friend in need. So the parable's about praying. It's about persevering in prayer. And thirdly and finally, it's about God's readiness to answer our prayers. Sometimes the parables that Jesus told bring out similarities with what God is like, as in this parable, that God is a friend to those who come to him in faith and prayer in their need, the greatest friend that anyone could have. But some of the parables also provide us with contrasts with what God is like. And that's also the case in this parable of the friend in need. For in the story, the friend asleep with his family inside their home is reluctant to get up. He's reluctant to answer the door to his friend. Yes, he eventually does get up and answer the door and give his friend what he was asking for, but there's this initial reluctance because of the time of night and not wanting to get up out of bed and disturb the family. But God isn't to be thought of that way, as if God is reluctant to hear our earnest prayers and cries for help. He's the God who never slumbers nor sleeps. He's waiting for us to pray and ready to answer our prayers. In this parable, we're told something about the ordinary, everyday kindnesses of people towards one another, a friend's care for their friend. And as we think of the care of that friend for his friend, we're reminded how much greater is the care that God has, even than the best of friends, the care that God has for his people. In our story, the man in bed was initially reluctant to get up and meet his friend's need, but he did. But God isn't reluctant like that. How much more readily does he answer the requests of his children, his trusting children, when they come in prayer with their needs? Let's read those verses 9 to 13 again. So Jesus, after telling the parable, he says to his disciples, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake?" And thinking here of a fish probably in terms of an eel that looks like a snake. And so if a father asks, a son asks for a fish, what father would give a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Just as good parents will never knowingly give their children something that will harm them, and just as good parents know how to give good gifts to their children, how much more does God know what's good for us and what we need? And above all, if we don't realize that the greatest need, the help of the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of the living Jesus to live in us, to help us, to mold our thinking, to help us in the words that we speak and the way we live our lives and the attitudes that we display to other people. How much we need the Holy Spirit's help for the living of life. You know, we can often pray for things that might not be what's best for our lives. Just like children can ask for things that aren't really what good for them. And out of love for them, we refuse or may say, wait, not yet, maybe later. And God, so infinitely greater than the best of parents, may answer our prayers with a, "No, this wouldn't be good for you. I've got something much better planned for you." Friends, are we learning to accept and rejoice in the ways in which God answers our prayers, even when his answers are not what we expect, and his answers may go in, sometimes indeed against what we want for ourselves? If only we can learn to yield our will to God's. Not my will, but yours be done, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane as he wrestled with the thought of the next day going to his death on the cross for our sins. Not my will, but yours be done. Rejoicing in the fact that God always hears, always answers our prayers for our good. Remember that verse, maybe some of us know it by memory, Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. Isn't that a wonderful truth? We know in all things, if we're trusting in Jesus, we know that in all things, whatever's happening, God is working for our good. And when you pray and he'll answer your prayers, as they're not always the way you expect, but he's always working for your good, for your eternal good. So as we close this parable that Jesus told of a friend in need, a simple story, and yet it teaches us important lessons about prayer and reminding us that if we're truly trusting in God, we can bring our prayers to him at any time, in any place, about anything, for he is greater than any friend we could have. How we grow in faith and prayerfulness as we keep on praying, don't give up, as we persevere in prayer. And the story has also reminded us, and like the friend reluctant to get up from his bed to answer the door, God is always awake to our every cry and ready to come to our aid. May God, as the disciple asked Jesus, after seeing Jesus pray, may God teach us to pray. May God teach us. You know, if you're ever struggling with your prayers or even not feeling inclined to pray, it's a great thing to pray, Lord, teach me to pray, help me to pray. By your Spirit, give me that desire to pray. Lead me in the things to pray for. Lord, teach us to pray. And as we pray, may we discover more and more what a wonderful and loving Heavenly Father God is, what a wonderful Savior and friend we have in God's Son, Jesus Christ. May God bless this meditation on his word to our hearts this morning.